Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. We're going to make sure these levels is right this week.
Irene.
One way or the other. Irene. Oh, come on. A few people don't understand. Like, I had to straighten the hair, y'all. Usually I listen to y'all while I'm cleaning the house, but now I put the headphones on. So we're going to make sure these levels is right this week. We're going to talk to the old engineer boy, and Eli, and he told us what we need to do, so we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. Today's easy. August 1st.
Yes. Summer over.
I felt cheated.
Oh, whatever.
Because it was too easy.
Because you want to guess.
You don't want to guess and mess up and guess
for
wrong.
For absolutely no reason.
You know,
summer is over.
It's still got 30 days.
Nigga, that shit over.
It's 30 days.
It's over. It might as well be over. It's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas.
This shit got Thanksgiving. August 1st, you're talking about Thanksgiving.
Once you hit...
You out there shopping for turkeys and chillings. They got the mustard greens on sale down to
Labor Day. It's basically Thanksgiving, which means it's basically
how you go from Labor Day to
yo, dead ass. If you go shopping, because I go to Target, go grocery shopping.
Down to the Target.
Over to the Target.
So it's basically like, once July 4th happens,
it's over.
It's school.
Yeah.
That shit is swapped out for school.
I know about the school.
And now, right after September 1st, it's going to be Halloween.
It's going Halloween.
And then right before Halloween, it's going to be Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah, dude.
And then it's Christmas. And then while they're doing Thanksgiving, it's going to be Christmas. And it's New Year's.
It's August 1st shit. I'm right.
Think about how quickly the year is going on.
These 4 weeks about to be lit.
Yeah.
This summer definitely went by quick. I looked up, I was like, damn, August 1st?
Yeah, man.
Shit. But how's everybody doing?
That's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You good? Everybody good? Yeah. Muggy and shit outside. It's disgusting. Like, it's like, what's up with yesterday it was raining. Now it's like muggy and hot.
It was raining today, too. Like, it was pouring in the middle of the day for a minute.
Oh, rain today?
Yep.
I missed that. But, I'm like, damn, I can't get right with what I'm wearing because it's too hot. It's I don't know what's going on, man. Shit. Maybe it's just me.
No, it's hot. You're right. It can't get right. And it's about to get steamier and muggier and soupier.
Did you know? I didn't even know that.
What is that?
This is the stopwatch for the iPhone.
Nigga, I don't need it.
Okay.
I swiped it by accident. Seen that. I only saw the numbers going.
I didn't know there was an actual dial. Update.
Yeah, you must
have. Maybe I did. I don't know. I want to give a quick shout out to what you said?
I said you can put it around your neck, be flavor, and some.
I want to give a quick shout out to Yvonne Orgy and I forget the other gal name. They got a really
Lovey.
Funny
Lovey,
yeah, the podcast of Jesus and Joloff.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's very funny. They're very funny. Missy has two Nigerian dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Diddy and Comfort, and they like literally that's exactly how they talk,
right.
Like in and out of the accent all the time, like that's they just do that all the time. So they really remind me, I guess it's what Nigerian girls do.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to give them a shout out. I just enjoyed the podcast. It's funny, you know.
Nice.
It's a good time. It's about to be her time Insecure coming on in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
12 days, shit.
Yep.
So it's about to be lit.
Speaking of Insecure, y'all Lawrence Hive niggas,
are they mad?
Doing a lot. First of all, okay, so the Lawrence Hive has put together a website.
Oh, there's a website?
I heard there's a website. There's a whole petition. A whole campaign to get Lawrence back for season 3.
Come on,
and niggas,
man.
He didn't get, Jay Ellis didn't get fired.
He's not dead.
He didn't get, but nor did he get fired. Like, it's not like there was beef and he left. They said he's not coming back for season 3. They didn't say he's not coming back ever, but the storyline needs to move on without him. Maybe he will come back. But
like
we all knew at the end of last season
it was over.
That most likely he was exiting at least for a while.
If he knew what good for him, he needed to go on back to the bank girl.
nigga, no.
Oh, well, what her name again?
Well, she got a baby by homeboy.
No, she got a baby by
Tasha. Tasha about that life in real life.
Yeah, I know. I know, that was crazy.
That's a lot.
Dro. Yeah. That's his name, Dro.
But anyway,
I wanted to mention also,
y'all doing a lot. That's not how TV works.
Three kind of hip hop. I'm only gonna mention two because one of them I'll probably get in trouble for. So I ain't gonna say that one. So, one, I read a thing, I don't know how true it is, but that Russell Simmons is basically like posted up in Bali.
Yeah.
And where he can't be extradited. And he's selling his house in L.A. for it's on the market for 8.2.
Wow.
Penthouse in New York.
So basically, he's liquidating his whole shit.
Every move Russell is making, the optics are so bad.
Yeah. And more women keep coming out.
The optics are so, and I
let me say this too, I'm not in Russell's pockets. I don't have any knowledge about Russell.
Yeah.
Russell, when this occurred, stepped down from a lot of his positions,
mm-hmm. right,
to focus on his spiritual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bali is not out of the realm.
Where he would go.
Now, I'm not saying that the extradition didn't help. I'm not caping here. But what I'm saying is it's not like
you can see
he's going to Kazakhstan or some shit right? Like, this is not, you know, and it is not uncommon. Russell does not have babies.
Yeah.
His kids are grown. They've gone to boarding school.
What, 18, 20?
I'm saying they're teenagers. These are college kids. These are not babies, right? Having these assets can be cumbersome. They can be financially cumbersome.
Right.
Upkeep, maintenance, all of that sort of shit.
If
you are stepping down from your position and you are not taking salaries from any of these other places, you know what I'm saying? It might be wise
to liquidate.
When you put those houses, selling a $8 million house is not like selling a $275,000 1,800 square foot
that you're gonna
room
flip.
In Jamaica, Queens, my nigga. Like, it takes a very long time. His house in Saddlebrook, that shit was on the market
forever.
Like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, forever.
It takes a very long time to move those properties. I mean, we can get back to that. I'm just saying these movements seem like that because of the optics. And again, I'm not saying that they're not what they even appear to be.
Right.
I'm saying it is also not uncommon.
It's not uncommon to do that. The timing.
That's why
I specifically said optics, because the timing. Combined with all of Russell's other moves, statements, reactions, everything through all of this, they do not combine.
It
doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And I mean, listen, I actually am with Jeff on this. Like, he did that shit, guilty as fuck. It might have been a long time ago. Russell was admittedly a different person a long time ago, and like we said, there's a conversation to be had about what you're accountable for that happened 20 years ago versus what you're mm-hmm. accountable for now. Mm-hmm. But again, he's done himself no fucking favors. Like, he's like, right now, his responsiveness, or his level of response and his type of response, like, he's standing right next to Robert in my book. Like, you doing hashtag
Robert Sylvester.
You got
Why hashtag, you switch your face like, up? That's the boy name.
But also, you know, the laughing face when 50 was clowning Terry Crews.
Yeah, it's all bad.
And obviously all of the Terry was exposing, text messages or comments that Russell was saying, hey, can you drop this? And
right.
Da, 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 da. So, I mean, look, obviously, like you guys said, I mean, optics-wise, from the outside looking in, it does look like that. And again, I'm not, he has plenty of money for attorneys to say this case. So that's not what I'm doing here. But what I am saying is that this is also not uncommon for people of a certain age, of a certain amount of wealth. They liquidate. They sell off assets when they are looking to cut their overhead.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I hear you. I don't feel you, but I hear you. But with the level on. The sidebar. I don't even want to talk Trump this week at all. I don't.
I just hate Jeff Sessions. Glad.
We all hate Jeff Sessions.
I know, I like legit
racist
hate
piece of shit.
Jeff Sessions.
But just, I just, your man, did you see that your man tweet today about Al Capone?
No.
So this is a real tweet for Trump. Looking back at history, who was treated worse? Alphonse Capone, legendary mob boss, killer, and public enemy number one, or Paul Manafort? Political operative and Reagan Dole darling, now serving solitary confinement, although convicted of nothing. Where's the Russian collusion? Like, my nigga, that's what we are?
He's desperate.
You comparing Capone to Manafort?
He's desperate. Like, yeah. This, like, your man has been, like, we've seen Trump flailing since he got into office when shit gets tight, but now,
yeah,
right now,
that noose is getting tight.
It's like, he is acting out on, like, a whole other, he is desperate.
Because he know Cohen is done. He's flipped. He's not he flipping. He's flipped. And Manafort going to flip for us all over because
Cohen did a whole floor routine.
Because like Manafort is looking at never going. He ain't coming home. And then he's old. He's already 70. He's like, nigga, you ain't coming home. So you're going to just eat it for this nigga?
Right.
Or you're going to maybe do something?
Here's the fucked up part, though. I just, at this point, I don't know if it'll make a difference.
Oh, no, no. His peoples are never leaving him. But what I've been saying, and I said it on the show.
No, I mean just in terms of, like, I don't, like, what will it take? Any other president we've had in the history of this country
would be done.
He would have, the heat would have been put on him to resign already. The GOP sitting back like, you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't know at this point what would make a difference. I don't know if anything would make a difference.
Well, this is the thing. The GOP people are not going to flip. They're not going to flip back away from him.
Right.
But like I said before, again, we didn't even want to do this, but what I said before is he's got his base is what usually like 30-something%, right, of locked in people for him, right? Which leaves a whole 60-something% of others, Democrats, undecideds, independents, whatever, libertarians, whatever it want to be. So my thing has always been like, well, just focus on the other 60-something%. Because these people, you're wasting your time trying to convince these people to leave him. They're not leaving.
Oh,
if
know.
Just based on just...
Because they like him because he says what
they
want to say.
And they're racist, too.
They're racist, yeah. So, they're racist and they're stupid.
So focus on them. That's what I'm saying. Like, beat them down by getting them.
But to that point, one thing I do want to say for our listeners who are in blue states, check your voting registration.
Oh, yeah,
status.
They've been tripping on
check
people with that.
Check it frequently. I've been seeing people posting on Twitter about how they've been purged from the rolls. Like, people will check 1 week and then, like, 2 weeks later, they're purged. So you can go to vote.org and check it really quickly.
Yep.
But continue to check it. Check it right up until, I think, the deadline to register is, like, a month outside of primaries or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're being really aggressive.
Yeah, trying to
this
shake people
really
off the
voters list. Like, they are really trying to fuck y'all up. So check your locations. Check, like, double check all of that. Like, it's really real.
Mm-hmm.
It's really real.
It's dead serious.
It's really real.
Did you even watch... Do you watch Love Is or no?
No, I still don't.
Yeah, watch it. Okay.
I need to.
I know,
bro, I
don't
still
watch
don't.
That shit.
Sorry.
I know, it's so
good. I know this
it's
week.
Got, it's definitely
got, it
so here's
up.
What I'm hearing. And
yeah,
I, know I, can't,
too.
I know I can't have a real conversation about coming out watching it, but some friends of mine were like, yo, this dude is really a fuck nigga. Like,
no, he's a fuck nigga.
Like, wasn't this
even,
episode about like him being one of them niggas who's like, I don't celebrate birthdays?
Yeah,
like,
no, I'll celebrate Valentine's Day. Right. He's this dude is a, and obviously the character is based on Celine,
right?
And I, you know, and a lot of it is based on apparently truth,
right?
And I'm like, okay, Celine's kind of a fuck. Well, I don't know about now, but back then he was a fuck nigga, like, and a user, and he just he uses everybody, like he uses his old girl, he uses Mara / Yuri, he uses his homeboy, like he's just a user, like he's like a grifter damn near, but if for some reason she's like enamored with this nigga and he's like, see, he's a fuck nigga, like,
right.
Like on the show they've only been together for 30 days,
right?
He's already living
they were
in the crib.
Only together for like 2 months when they got married or something crazy like that.
He's already living in the crib. He drives her car every day. He got keys to the crib,
right?
Like her mom on the show is like, the fuck, like, what fuck is this nigga?
Yeah.
Like, she wants this new couch. He was like, nah, I don't think it should go here. You should put that in the other room. Her mom's like, the fuck? Like, you ain't paying attention to this shit. Nigga, like, who is you? And she's like, you know, yeah, you're right, I'm going to put it in the other room. Like, she's, like, under some spell
right.
from this nigga. It's like, but he's, his character's a fuck nigga, B. I don't like this nigga, like, at all. I mean, you know, we'll get into it deeper if you ever, you know, kind of catch up on the show, but, like,
right.
that nigga's a fuck nigga. That's all I want to say. Fuck that nigga. He's a fuck nigga. Have you all been watching Real Housewives of Potomac?
Yes.
Yes.
So we got one episode left before the reunion.
Yeah, so next month is the finale. It's still the most interesting Housewife franchise right now, except for New York, which I know y'all don't watch because they're white. However,
yeah, well, pretty much.
However, I'm tired of them though. Like, this whole season.
What's been a long season?
It's been a really long season, and it's been a long season of like the same shit. Like, none of this is particularly super compelling.
Well, I thought the Michael Ashley
storyline
was very compelling because.
But that's the only one that's.
It feels like again, sadly, that we are looking at the beginning of the end of a marriage on
Michael's
one of these Real Housewives franchises.
Yeah,
so it feels like yeah. it feels like he's like, look, I ain't fucking with you. I'm tired of it, and she's, you know, I mean, I definitely, you know she's, you know. Financially, I guess, gonna be okay based on their prenup and all that, but like, I don't know. I feel like,
she read up
on some other shit.
Well, she'll be okay.
She'll be
gonna be in the shelter.
Yeah. Right. You know, she'll get a little two bedroom downtown, but like, I don't know. I feel like at a certain point, I was like, yo, she really does kind of care for this nigga.
She does, but you know what? Even from the limited point of view we have of Ashley, I can definitely see how if I'm older, she on my nerves like shit. And the shit, the blind spot she has for her mom.
Yeah, that's bad.
That, I'm telling you, that's what did it, though.
Yeah.
That has to be what did it because.
I think she's being, it's wild because when you watch it, she's actually being manipulated by Michael and her mom.
Yeah.
It doesn't realize, especially from her mom's side.
Well, she doesn't realize from her mom's side, but she's also being disingenuous.
Yeah.
About
she's also lying. Like, in one episode, she specifically talked about her mom kind of abandoning her to her grandmother.
Yeah, she said her grandmother raised her.
And then, in this most recent episode,
she waxes
poetic about how her mom
we went through so much together.
And I'm kind of confused, because I'm like...
I think what they went through together was her leaving her.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, she's kind of... And them getting closer again or something.
But I understand Michael's apprehension about wanting to have a child, one, at this stage in his life, and two, with someone that he does not have a sense of confidence in.
Yeah.
Not because she lacks the ability to care for or make sound decisions, but when she has the influence of her mom.
Right.
And her brother. Like, it sort of... It changes her. Like, she becomes this infant almost.
Her mom is manipulative as fuck. Fact that her mom actually acts like Michael is this horrible person because he's putting his foot down about his fucking money?
Yeah.
About his money.
Yeah, then I've been carrying your mom. And that's the other thing. They didn't give us any backstory. Where did mom get the money for this new house?
Well, I think that's an apartment. I'm sorry. Even if it's a house, I definitely...
No, it's a house.
It's a rental. It's absolutely
a rental. Oh, it's definitely a rental. But he wants you to get the money even for that. To move in.
Probably from her.
Yes. I would guess
that Ashley has a Nike... Because I don't think he
had cut her off yet. Ashley claimed that she didn't give her mom the money.
I would guess that Ashley has a Nike shoebox.
Right.
And was able to filter a couple grand for first month, last month.
But had to sell TV that she did.
Ashley gave her show money because she only spends Michael's money.
She definitely did something to help her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it made no sense.
She has a sketchy work history at best.
Yeah. Right. The other nigga don't work at all.
Yeah.
Ain't in years.
So,
but y'all got new furniture and shit. I'm like, the fuck? New wigs?
All them pieces is hitting.
Rooms.
Yeah.
But the Candace girl gets on my nerves a lot.
She gets on my nerves. I'm very dubious, as they say, on that marriage lasting.
Oh yeah, because I don't believe they're getting married for the right reasons. And
she's getting married because she just wants the show.
She wants the wedding.
She wants a wedding.
Yeah, she wants a wedding. She don't want a marriage. Yeah, she wants a wedding.
She wants the wedding, and we all know that her mother's crazy or whatever. The white boy might actually have a little bit of sense. I don't know.
No, I think the white boy has some sense, but the white boy's raggedy.
Yeah.
As fuck. He deadbeat.
Like I said, if his name was Darnell,
he wouldn't even be in the picture.
At all.
Exactly. Right. And I noticed that whenever the white boy we call him the white boy. Whenever Chris. What's it, Chris? Yeah. Whenever Chris does express some emotion, Candace just be looking at him like, well, what's the problem? Yeah. Yeah, like, it's no empathy. It's just kind of like, what? Right. Like,
because it's not about her.
Exactly.
Everything with Candace has to be about Candace.
Exactly.
In the moment. Even the way she gets mad, like, when she gets mad at the women, it's not that she doesn't have a right to get mad at the women, but when she decides to speak up about it, like, it never, like, the timing's never right.
Never.
Like, she be flipping on them at a time when they not even talking about her.
Yeah.
And she be mad. And be like, yeah, ain't nobody even talking about
her. And over dumb shit. Because you said that I was a princess.
You said I was a princess. They're like, no, you said you were a princess.
What?
I didn't say. You know, it's just like, it's a dumb, and whatever. So, y'all know I go back and forth on Monique. There's something with her and Chris's marriage. I can't figure it out.
Good or bad?
Like, something weird, right? Like, because even when she was talking about this argument, like, she's like, every time I get ready to go on vacation, me and Chris get into an argument. And then she comes home. I don't know. It's
and always just feels like...
Because she's supposed to be a trophy wife, and I think, like we've seen, like we saw with Quad, I think this is a situation where it's like...
She's taking advantage of some opportunities.
Like, okay, you're feeling yourself. You're doing too much. Like, you kind of stepped outside of the agreement of our unspoken agreement in the marriage.
I agree. Because just like with Quad... I read that she's on the news in D.C. now, like, does, like, a little entertainment segment.
Right, and she's on that show, Circle Assistance.
Yeah, you know, not Quad, Monique is on the news in D.C., kind of taking the same path.
Okay, okay.
She does, like, a little entertainment
Monique
thing.
Monique is pregnant now, though.
Okay.
She is pregnant again, so she's at least upholding that.
The thing that kind of, I'm going to say irks, because it ain't my life, but the thing that kind of always bugs me out is, like, whenever something happens, good or bad, whatever, like, do I always have to give you a gift? Like, right. I was like, God, he always has to give her I get a birthday gift. It's this nonstop, like, what did you buy me? What did you get me?
A couple of things.
Yeah.
I think he has set that tone.
Yep.
Definitely
and
has.
I think that gifts, because gifts for her are things, right? They're usually very easily purchased things.
Yeah, shoes, right.
They're
a bag.
He does not give, in my opinion.
No thought, right?
Yes. They're not very thoughtful gifts.
Right.
They're not gifts that show a level of listening or paying attention or anything that would, and I hate to say this, but anything that requires work. A part of a gift,
mm-hmm,
right, is when you are also sort of giving of yourself, right? There's
right.
a time commitment.
Really thinking about it.
Really think about it. Like, you really went and did this for me. Like, going to Neiman, not even going at this point, because I'm sure their card is on fire. Their card is on fire. Like, give me these.
Just send that over.
Ship them over to the crib.
Yeah.
Put a gift back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm not saying that he's doing that because he doesn't care. I think that that's how he expresses himself. I don't necessarily know that he is sort of this uber romantic guy. And I'm not even saying that as one of those super over the top guys. But I'm just saying there is a level of when you give your wife a gift that... when you constantly do that sort of thing, the gift means a little less and less.
Exactly.
Yep.
It kind of becomes expected.
Yep.
Or whenever you make a mistake,
that's what
you
it feels like.
Up,
it becomes
like,
that feels expected.
She's
now.
Not even really excited.
She's like, these are nice.
Yeah, because because that's something she would have gotten herself, right?
Yeah.
The thing about and that's the other thing, right? Like, the thing about a gift is something that when I get a gift, it has to be something that I would have never gotten for myself.
Exactly.
Like, oh wow,
like, you guys really did all of that for me, and then you kind of. You jumped through all of these hoops, and I didn't even know that you.
Yeah, was even doing this shit. He like.
Let me go to your bathroom.
He like old Curtis when he bought the that rotisserie chicken of the Jackie.
Oh yeah,
Mary's medicine and one flour from the Publix, nigga.
This nigga came back with a Target bag.
Came back with a $7 chicken and a $4.
But I bought us some dinner, man.
I think that their relationship is interesting in that I think it does bother him a little bit, right? Because
she's spreading her wings.
Well, not that she's spreading her wings, but I bet she's more recognized than
now,
Chris
than he is.
No question.
Okay.
Now, no question.
And I think that
that, keep popping.
That eats away at him. And I don't even think he's mad. I think he's just adjusting. I think he's dealing with the adjustment of, you know, hey, you know, like, my wife is out here. And I'm the husband now. It's not the other way around.
I'm Mr. Monique.
Exactly.
And also, she likes status. So this whole less charities, let me charities events, let me be this thing, let me be, that's her shit. And he's probably like, listen, we got a whole bunch, because she got little kids. She got little kids.
Like, everybody under five.
Like, he probably like, nigga.
Yeah.
You need to be at this house.
And I bet you know how niggas move. I'm sure that was part of the whole getting her pregnant again. Yeah. Let me slow you down a little bit.
Because she had just miscarried.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they do want a bigger family. I get it. Because you're a southern nigga, like, he's used to having a baby. Yeah. But still, I think it's also like, let me just up a little slow.
And I don't even think that it was an unspoken rule. I would bet for a fact that he wanted and made it very clear that he wanted a traditional home. Yep. He wanted a stay-at-home wife.
Yep.
He wanted all of these things. And in return, this was the life you had.
Yeah.
18,000 square feet.
You want to throw a party? You want to decorate the house?
All of that shit.
Dress all the kids the same? Listen, do whatever.
That works
for them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But now she's kind of gotten this newfound fame and notoriety.
It's just an adjustment.
I don't think that marriage is gonna end. Yeah. But it's definitely gonna go through some type of transition.
But it's kind of like what we saw on a much different level. But it's kind of like what we saw with Portia and Cordell. Like, Portia gets on TV. All these other women got their hustles that they moving around and doing. And
she's like, I gotta ask Cordell to do that.
And they're like, bitch, what? You know. So Monique also prides herself. It's crazy because Monique, on one hand, is like this traditional trophy wife, but on the other hand, she prides herself on being like this city girl from Jersey or whatever, and it's like, you can't really do both.
What I'm very curious to see is next season, because, you know, she's always talking about, I got so much going on, I got so much.
Stay busy. She's
but so how's busy. It going to be next season with an infant? So that's going to be an infant. Yeah. That little girl will probably only be three, and then the boy will probably be maybe five.
Yeah.
So now you got three kids, five and under, and an infant. You think you're busy now. And you know what? Everybody ain't going to want to be over there taking care of an infant.
Right.
Like, that's your job. I'm not fucking burping and wiping a throw-up off my new shirt. That's your job.
Right, right.
So it's going to be very interesting. Again, not wishing bad on anybody. Just like, it's going to be very interesting to see the adjustment. The last thing is, not surprisingly, but, you know, I think we all figured out a while ago that Karen
is lying
and renting that house.
Yeah.
Because the house
was... Well, who are you talking about? You talking about holding on to a lie. Oh, shit. Karen is holding on to that lie.
And Ray wasn't even there.
For dear life. We ain't seen Ray since, like, the third episode.
Ray looked like he cursed out Michael next week, though. You saw the clip. That old black man came out. That shit jumped right out. Hey, hold on, Mike.
Get the hell on.
Oh, hold on, Michael. I don't know who you talking to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he jumped right out of the nigga. But it's just like, again, we always say it's like, yo, 10,000 square feet for two people, and Ray is older. Oh, he ain't moving like he used to. Like, they should have had the dope crib in Georgetown, the dope little apartment or townhouse.
Yeah.
What we need 10,000 for?
And they ain't even taping at Karen's house like that, so for what?
They taping like the same room. It which tells you that it's not real.
Yeah.
It's like the same only couple rooms. It's like, you ain't living here. You open up the drawers, the napkin drawer, and it's empty.
Yeah.
Come on, B. What are we talking about here, man? Karen, God bless. You saw she's on Breakfast Club. You see that?
No.
She was on there last week.
Why?
Talking about the show and about herself and about, you know, her and Ray, and everything is great with
me and
Ray.
This is her job now, right? Like, we got to remember that. Like, this is part
of... the season almost over, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Her job now is being Karen Huger of Real Housewives. We have to remember that. Like, this is a part of when you go on a show like this.
I get it, but doesn't that usually happen at the beginning of the season?
Not necessarily. You want to keep that going. Like, okay, those checks in for the show. I still got to eat, right? Yeah. Like, so let me go out here and do this book. Let me, you know, let me scam a couple engagements. Let me have them process their charitable contributions through my charity. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case
may be.
Let me go speak over
at Javits Center.
She's absolutely going to be doing, you know, hosting a day party.
Yeah, she's going to be on that Tom Joyner cruise next year.
Absolutely.
Talking about party with Karen.
Lord,
you know what I'm saying? $25 for a picture.
Dancing with, I forget that old comedian nigga name, whatever. Anyway, so peace to them. I know you didn't watch this tonight, but I also want to mention Last Chance U.
Yeah.
So Last Chance U is a series that comes on Netflix. This is their third season. It's about kids that are playing junior college football at a high level for junior college, trying to transfer to a big time school. Some of them are coming through there. Some of them are coming down from a big school because they got kicked off a program, and they follow them.
Football.
Yeah, JUCO football. The first two seasons was Mississippi.
East Mississippi.
This season was Kansas.
Yeah,
Independence, Kansas. And it's a really interesting show because obviously these are kids, 18, 19 years old, right? So they're aware of the cameras, but
they don't care.
They very soon become comfortable. They become themselves. You know, they're not. To me, none of the kids are playing for the cameras. I thought the coach this season played for the cameras, son, but I didn't feel like any of the kids played for the cameras. You know, they're going through mad shit because these are, kids from the hood, like, no money, like, It's a lot of shit going on this show. This season was very interesting. The coach is this white guy, Jason Brown, who grew up dead in Compton. He was like the only white kid in the whole. So he's like a white black guy.
His parents divorced when he was young, and his dad did not. He just didn't move when it was white flight. His dad was an alcoholic. So I think he probably couldn't move. And when white flight occurred, he just was kind of stuck.
Right.
And when you listen to him talk, like, he's like a Compton dude. Yeah. Like, he's listening to, what's the song he was listening to?
Charlie Wilson.
and album cuts.
Right.
I'm not talking about singles. Yeah. I forget the name of the song.
Angel or something like that. It's an album cut, but it's a good record.
Yeah, he's sipping on his brown.
Wow.
He only drives Cadillacs. Like, he's a white black guy. Like, for real. You know what I'm saying? He curses every other word.
It's not even cool.
It's like, man, chill out.
I thought I cursed a lot.
No. This dude is motherfucker. He's cursing at the kid. Motherfucker, who the fuck you talking to, you motherfucking punk ass bitch?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yo, so, it's crazy. So, but go ahead, bro. What was you going to say?
I was going to say, the very interesting thing is that dude who was his coach at
From Compton, the black guy.
I can't remember his name right now. It's slipping my mind. He's a football coach at Compton Community College. Was actually one of a lieutenant or some shit with Freeway Rick.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you look at the documentary on Freeway Rick, it's the same dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and dude basically kind of got out of the game.
And started coaching.
And started coaching and shit like that. So basically, that's what he was saying. Like, he basically, when he came to Compton, to college, like, basically, dude put the work, like, he's good.
Yeah.
And he was good.
He can move around. Yeah. Because he ended up living with him for a little while.
Yeah, he lived with him for a while.
Because the white guy ended up living, because he was a quarterback in college, in high school and college, so he ended up living with his coach.
Because
his dad was an alcoholic and, in a mess.
I had a couple things. I want to say I really love, I can't remember her first name, I think it's Lisa Pinkert. It might be.
Oh, the guidance counselor.
No, she's not a guidance counselor.
Oh, the teacher.
English teacher.
Yes.
She was in the first two seasons of Last Chance U. It was Brittany Wagner.
Yeah.
And she was a counselor. Yeah. She was really keeping the kids, on track to graduate. But also, What she did was, and what Ms. Pinker does in this season, is really provide these young men with a level of nurturing.
Yeah. That, maternity figure.
Yes, a maternal figure, but also, like, she got it. She's getting their ass just enough.
Oh, yeah.
She talked to them in a way that was identifiable for us.
Yeah.
Because we've all had those thoughts.
Yeah.
And we've had those people in our lives. Mm-hmm. If you were fortunate enough to have those people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really, really excellent.
She was.
And I really wish that, fuck the show. I wish the school would give her or put her in a position to operate more in a Brittany Wagner position.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that position is. or even if she wants that position. But she seems to be great with those young men. Mm-hmm. She knows them. She's able to pinpoint shit that I don't think other people can, unless you come from our culture, right? Like you can see it. So, and then there was a couple of other things. So Malik Henry is like the star quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't like that kid. I tried to like
Malik Henry. So Malik Henry was. He goes to Florida State.
He was in high school. He was the number one rated high school quarterback in the country.
Yes. Oh, wow.
He's a big deal.
He's a big deal. Yeah. So he signs to Florida State, basically gets dismissed from Florida State under a cloud of nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody can figure this out. They just dismissed him. He says he's been suffering from depression, and he very well may be. It's not clinically diagnosed, but he looks to really be dealing with some shit. And really, it's fascinating to watch this young man do something that he doesn't seem to want to do.
Well, if you remember, he said
his first love is baseball.
Exactly. He played baseball. He was really good. And his dad,
Bustos,
was a jerk.
Oh, no.
His dad
is a jerk.
His dad left his life as, I guess he'd say, he was an 8 or 9.
No, he was like 5.
Yeah, he was really young.
He was a kid. He was his a toddler.
His pops bounces
in his life.
That gone. Disappears. Yes.
Right.
Malik is playing baseball. He's really good at it. He's playing football too. He's playing baseball. That's his passion, his love. Right. He becomes really good athlete. Of course, his dad hears about him becoming a good athlete.
Well, what they explained was the mom started getting the colleges calling.
Yes.
And didn't quite know how to deal with this and basically called the dad like, look, like I'm getting these colleges calling. Yeah. Like I need somebody to walk him through this. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's when he came back in his life, and what he did was he snatched baseball from him.
Yeah, he was like, you're going to play football.
You're going to play football. Which is unbelievable to me as someone who just the economics
tells
you that, you know, baseball is a better sport, and you can still walk.
Way more money. Yeah.
And you can still walk and speak when you're 45.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So that was just weird to me. But his dad seemed to be sort of living vicariously through his son.
No question.
And seemed to be just a real hard ass and just unnecessary. And you can really see Malik.
You look at his son as a product.
Yes. You can see Malik not giving up, because this was how he kept his dad in his life. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I stop playing football, he leaves again.
And he ain't coming back this time, right?
Yeah. Now I'm grown.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have that aspect. And, I mean, the kid is good, and he's, you know, really sort of dealing with the fact that he goes from Florida State to fucking JUCO, right? Like, that's a big jump. You damn near going from a pro program
to independent standards.
To basically what is not even, like, that's not even high school level football in Texas, right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Also, he grew up in the Valley.
Okay.
So, Then do his pops. Once his pops comes in, he starts moving him to high school. So he plays at Inglewood. Yeah. He played at Compton. Right. So he also has this chip because he's like a suburban kid.
Yeah.
So he's overcompensating.
Right.
Like he's tough. So the one little thing, he just wilds out on people. Like, fuck you, punk ass bitch. Like, he's crazy. It's like, yo, my man.
Ridiculous.
Like,
it was
very.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was diagnosed with something like bipolar, because it's like drastic.
Yeah.
His mood,
once he goes, he's gone. You can't calm him down.
And one of the fan favorites was Bobby Bruce.
Yeah, Bobby.
Who, I'm not an educator. I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't Bobby seems to, like, he might have
some learning disabilities. Yeah.
He might have some challenges.
Yeah, okay.
And while I think everyone loved Bobby because of his passion, I thought Bobby was a bit of a hustler. Mm-hmm. I think Bobby has the worst possible support system you could imagine for someone trying to go straight. he seems to fall back in line really, really easy. Mm. You know, having, you know, family members killed and all of that.
Mom in jail.
You kind of out here. You know, these kids are 19 and they feel like they have the entire family.
Wait for them to go pro from junior college in Kansas. Yeah. Like, it ain't going to happen,
and
bro.
And the kid is, you know, God bless him, but he's grossly out of position.
Yeah, because he's small.
He's small kid. The kid should really be playing safety. And, you know,
he's playing linebacker. He might be 200 maybe on a good day. Yeah, so it's not real that he's not a shot. Yeah,
I'm listening to him and I'm watching him and I'm like, this kid knows how to game. He knows how to game.
But I think him and Ms. Pinker's relationship was real though.
I know that relationship was real because I don't think he's ever had that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever had that from someone telling him he can do something other than football.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that he has to be real with her because he sort of feels an obligation to her, right? To be honest.
Yeah.
But when he's around, like what he does with the coach, and he'll call his mom and tell his mom that he got kicked out of school, but he's not really telling all of the other shit that he's doing. You know what I'm saying? The smoking, not going to class, like just not even showing up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm just saying? Chilling. So all of those things, man, it was an interesting season. I think the coach, Jason Brown, I think he's a fucking dickhead. I think he's a terrible coach. I think he's lazy. I think he's incredibly unprepared. And I think his act is going to run thin on them conservative white folks in Kansas real soon. All he need is one, you know, a 7-4 season.
That's over. Because he said this is the first job he stayed more than a year.
Yes, because
this shit runs quick.
Well, he also quit on the previous job.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was offensive coordinator. Yeah. And I think that he knew he wasn't prepared and was going to be exposed.
Yeah.
You know, and so he yells and he screams. And you can watch the show. And it's all from the top down.
Yeah.
Every organization, they will take on the characteristics of the coach.
Exactly.
Of the boss. And that's what happens here.
Yeah.
And it is telling. And these kids are phenomenally talented. So that record is really just because, like, they would be in
tie
games.
They won the championship. They didn't win the championship.
They would be in a tie game and he would make a fucking ridiculous call.
Like crazy.
And what'll happen is like, because his kids are so superior athletic,
right?
They just blew the game wide open.
Yeah.
It wasn't because they were prepared.
Right.
Or
was
it because he knew what he was doing or he had to make this change?
It was because of the kids.
Yeah, it was just like ridiculous shit. So a lot of these kids have gone on. I followed.
Yeah, they went to D1 schools.
A lot of the kids have gone to the kicker, signed to Hawaii. They got kids in Utah.
The running back went to
Arkansas.
Raheem Boyd went to
Arkansas. The other kid went to UAB.
Yeah, one kid went to Tennessee.
The kid Emmett.
The D-lineman,
he went to Tennessee. So these kids are going to get real opportunities to play at real D1 schools and really get a chance at going to the league. And really, it's not because he does not make those kids better at all. Yeah. At all. Not physically, not mentally. They don't get better during the season with X's and O's. They don't get better academically.
Yeah.
They're just there. They are biding time.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker is shopping for Cadillacs.
Right.
And I think he's a fucking dick.
Shopping for Cadillacs.
I think he's a dick. And if I hear about this fucking beach house that he keeps talking.
They never showed.
Yo, because the shit is, I just read, the shit got, he ain't even been in the beach house.
It's a shack.
Roof is a shack. It's a fucking shack.
Like, will you get money for a beach house in LA?
He was talking like he had.
Like he had a joint in Malibu.
Malibu. I'm like,
I'm living next to the Kardashians.
Yeah, like, I'm like, word, dude. Like,
yeah. He just got a little joint just near the water.
That's it.
A raggedy.
And some sand.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably got crabs up in the kitchen.
Come on,
I wonder, I think now you might know about this a little more detail about this. About Kenya Barris leaving ABC.
Yeah, I actually don't. I don't know that there's a lot of detail. They've just been saying that he's, you know, there have been talks about him being unhappy with the network since last year.
Yeah, I think when they, it felt like there was issues, but once they stopped that one show, that really like put a big dark cloud on
that.
Because other things kind of go.
Yeah.
I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
But it was other shit though.
According to reports,
he's put forth a bunch of shows that they didn't pick up.
Yes, and then
they did Roseanne. He's probably looking at the landscape like.
Yeah, and I think that you know, listen, you're dealing with Disney. you know, this is ABC, you're dealing with Disney, you're only going to do but so much. And like I've said before, I think that the Neil episode, I think that that wasn't really a great hill to die on. I mean, you have to understand that ABC is in partnership with the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, right. You have to take those things into consideration, you know. And guess what, man? Like, not all of your art is going to, some of your art is going to be on a cutting room floor. I don't really, you know, there's no really other way to say that. I also think that there were a couple of things. I mean, in addition to the fact that he didn't get a lot of the shows picked up that he thought should have gotten picked up, I think that just the creative crunch that happens at a network was becoming overbearing. And I didn't read this, but I think that there's a lot, I think that there's a lot more smoke with the Anthony Anderson shit. And I think Tracy was very unhappy with her pay.
Yeah, she was.
I think, you know what I'm saying?
For Tracy to go public with that, Tracy, who's, you know, we know is Diana Ross's daughter.
Yeah.
So basically has been, not basically, has been brought up in show business.
Actually, it wasn't Tracy who went public with it. The story broke, and Tracy was actually like, guys, I'm not leaving the show. Yes, it's true. I'm not leaving.
Okay. I assumed that maybe her agent or something.
No, people were saying Tracy's leaving.
Okay.
And then Tracy actually clarified, like, yes, it's true. Like, I want to get, but I'm not leaving the show. Like, I'm happy.
That's a negotiating tactic. Yeah. Agents will do that. They throw it out there, and, you know, you get some public, you know, public sway.
I'll cry, whatever.
But, you know, going to Netflix, I mean, this is the second poach from ABC that Netflix has. And I think that they're going to, I mean, these are substantial deals between them, between Kenya, between Chandra, and I'm assuming...
And Ryan Murphy.
And I'm assuming that even if they don't get a deal as much as Chandra, it's going to be very like.
It's going to be good.
I mean, you're looking at, you know, over $200-something million.
Yeah.
Right.
That you are pouring in to just these three content creators. And, you know, at some point, man, that's just going to have to be a hit.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you cannot spend and dish out that kind of bread for just for average shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And these are all, they've done it before. They have track records. They have histories here. Hopefully they'll be able to, you know, make this transition, but I don't necessarily know that it's going to be as easy, because you're going to have hills and valleys in streaming as well.
Yeah. Right. So he has another show coming on called Freeform called Besties. I didn't know about that one. So he'll still remain an EP for Black Is Growing.
Oh yeah, he'll get the EP.
And Besties. The deal ends now August was when the deal ends.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of reading through this press release. You know, he just, you know, grateful for everybody about
all
the general shit. You know. I don't know what the, I wonder what the Besties, is that a spinoff maybe of Grownish, right? Because also on Freeform. I mean, it's a separate thing.
I think he developed several different shows.
If Grownish is already a spinoff, you're going to spin off a spinoff.
Well, you know, I remember that. Norman Lear did that.
Not after one season, though.
But, yeah.
No, wait. How quick did the Jeffersons come after,
George might have been,
All the family?
George took a while.
Yeah, were the Jeffersons living next door from the jump?
No. And the Jeffersons, I mean, those were spinoffs in theory, right?
But they went in totally different directions.
Yes, they were not really like George never, Archie never came.
Yeah, we never heard them mention the bunkers
they
again.
They never mentioned the bunkers.
Shit, my point. They were just neighbors.
They talked about Harlem. They never even mentioned Queens.
And the Good Times was a spinoff. Like, they were spinning off. Norman was spinning.
But it was usually one spinoff per show.
No, they all spun from All in the Family. There was the tree. All in the Family, the Jeffersons, and Good Times. Maud spun off All in the Family because Maud, it was Edith's cousin, and she used to come over to the house and beat Archie because she was liberal and he was conservative. And then Good Times spun because Florida was the maid,
right? From Maud.
So they all was.
I didn't understand because didn't Maud live in New York?
Yeah, Maud Archie lives in
Chicago.
No, more than New York. Yeah.
That's all I'm not saying. I remember them referencing Florida living in New York. So, like, that's what I'm saying. They took it in a completely different way.
Spinoffs are very loose.
No, mine. No. Okay, yeah, not my old shit come back. Maud did live in Chicago. Florida was Maud's maid.
Right. Okay.
But Maud would go to New York to see Edith.
Got you.
Okay. Because that was her cousin.
Okay.
And then they would do the whole liberal versus.
This has been the old nigga.
This is the old nigga section.
Oh, but wait, but it brings something up. I read that, you know, they did a reboot of One Day at a Time for Netflix. Which
I heard it was really good.
It's very good. Yeah, it's very good. I've watched it. It's very good. And it changes it up to being a Cuban American family. And the mother is a military vet, so it's like both sides of that. And it's got Rita Moreno, who I fucking love.
Yeah, she's a G.
But apparently Norman Lear's company is looking into now rebooting like all the Lear stuff. And I'm
so
like,
you might get a new Good Times.
But I'm like, nah. Like, here's the thing.
Yeah, I can't handle Florida in 2018, bro.
Norman Lear is 96. So I'm like, how it's much 96. Of this are you really doing? He's a good billionaire.
I'll just say this. My man.
I know he was still lucid as of like 2 years ago.
Yeah, my man Anthony Rich Priest Anthony. We worked together at Jive. You know, obviously years ago, and he's been kind of working with Norman, like Lucy, like, you know, kind of developing a lot of music stuff. And he says he's sharp as a tack. Still,
I know he was.
I mean, of course, he ain't moving as quick. I know, but if you sit kicking with him, he's clear.
But my thing is, could we use a Lear-esque set of shows right now? Absolutely. Although I don't think this climate is ready for it, because everybody doesn't like we're adamantly against looking in a mirror. But do we need a reboot of his shit?
Well, we've gone down that road a little bit with Gerard Carmichael. The Carmichael show was in the Lear vein,
right? Yeah.
And it was not successful when people had to laugh at dark shit.
And yeah. I don't think people are in a space to do that right
television,
now.
Television has taken on a different. It's a different animal now.
Well, you got to say. Well, the bigger thing is, what is television in 2018?
Well, it's right. Definitely
network television is going the fuck away. That's one thing. So if Lear was doing that, it might be another Netflix thing. Like I've heard that if sports were to really transfer over to streaming, network television would be a wrap.
It's going
to
happen soon.
I mean, Norman Lear and those guys, they were able to do all of that stuff right at a time when there were like four fucking channels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you could lock in
20 million in a night.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I just don't know that, you know, you're able to do. I think the expectations are very difficult. And I mean, listen, do I think that there's stories to be told about working class and working poor people? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's going to translate to network television.
Yeah.
And also, I think that One Day at a Time is the outlier in the Lear canon. Because even though it tackled like single motherhood and feminism, and this new version does also tackle racism, it wasn't as charged as the other Lear stuff.
Yeah. It wasn't as hardcore.
No.
At all.
Let's mention this Beyonce takeover. Beyonce's taken over Vogue magazine, September issue, which is their biggest issue every year, literally and figuratively.
That's kind of overstating what she's doing. She is on the September cover, and she's been given free creative control over her cover and her cover story.
I thought she was controlling the whole magazine.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it's just the cover?
She's on the cover, and she's been given creative control, which is why she chose her photographer. She's been given complete creative control over her
company. Oh, I thought it was going to be the whole book.
That's a lot. And
but people have done that before, maybe not here, but they always have like guest editor. Rolling Stone would do that a lot.
People have done it before, but when you're a guest editor, you don't have complete creative control like by anything. No.
Oh, shit. I mean, I don't want to downplay it because it's still a big deal.
I mean, it's a big deal, but it's unprecedented. But yeah, she has created. It's most likely Anna's final September issue. This is probably like Anna's.
No, I read today that Anna's not leaving.
Oh, okay.
There was rumors that she was going to leave, but they worked out something, so she's actually going to stay.
But what Beyonce has contractually is full creative control over what the cover looks like, who shoots it, and she chose a very young, like a 23-year-old.
Yeah, 23-year-old African-American
photographer. The first African-American.
126 years.
Shooting the cover.
And then Rihanna's on the cover of British Vogue.
Yep.
Which is the same first, thing. First black woman on the cover in 126 years.
And this isn't the first
126 years,
this isn't the first black... Well, she's the first black woman on the cover, but Beyonce's not the first black woman on the September issue cover. It's the first black photographer shooting the cover. Rihanna is the first black woman on the cover.
But either way,
it's too late
in 126 years.
Right.
And ain't been no black woman
there's
in Britain.
There's really not a lot of black fashion photographers. And it is a different thing than just being a photographer.
I know, yes,
there's really, that's a space that there really aren't a lot of black fashion photographers.
And there ain't been no black woman on that Vogue could have put on that cover in England in 126 years.
I mean,
none.
I'm surprised that B wasn't on it.
Shirley Bassey.
No, it's not that she hasn't been on the, not that a black woman hasn't been on the Vogue cover, because Oprah was just on the Vogue cover.
No, the UK.
The September issue.
Okay, let's do that one.
No, that's what I'm saying. Oprah was just on the UK Vogue cover. It's the September issue.
Okay. But I'm saying, issue. In her 26 years, you couldn't have put Diana Ross or Esther Roll or...
Not Esther Roll,
because
this man is Esther Roll.
Lola Falana could have been on that cover. Shit.
Right.
Well, peace to Beyonce. Peace to the Obamas who took in the Beyonce Jay-Z show in D.C.
And y'all niggas still got shit to say. These niggas ain't been in office in 2 years and you will not let them live.
But what?
This fuck-ass president
I'm stunned.
Can do all kinds of foolishness and you want to give him
fuck-ass. All this man did was took his lady and his daughters and their family to watch a show.
It is the dumbest shit.
And they like, oh my God, how could the president be dancing to...
Because he ain't the fucking president.
That shit is unbelievable.
I mean,
I love that they blatantly don't give a flying shit about what anybody says, but it's just like Jesus. And him and Joe was out a couple days ago getting donuts or some shit.
Yeah,
or
they were
cupcakes
like
or some hanging out. I know that had to be a mind fuck for the people in the store.
Mm-hmm.
To see both of them come in.
Yeah.
I mean, either one of them is bananas.
Yeah.
But together, like, wait, chilling. What? And I read today, I think you might have mentioned this before, now that I think the 22nd Amendment allows Joe to run, and Barack could be vice president.
Technically, not that I would think he would be. Yet,
I don't think he would.
Once Barack has spent a certain amount of time out of office, he technically can
be the VP.
Be the VP. Not that he ever would be.
Yeah, because I don't think Michelle's like, trying to go back
as
in.
As much as I fuck with Uncle Joe, listen, I fuck with Joe Biden a long way, even though he has a problematic past, which is one of the things I think... One of the reasons I think a lot of people are full of shit about Hillary, because all the same shit they're mad at Hillary for, Joe did the same shit, but they love Joe. But it just never came up with Joe. But as much as I fuck with Joe, and I really do wish that Joe would have ran this last time.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I can go for like the septuagenarian white nigga running for office again. I just don't know.
I've been saying they need a younger candidate.
We
man.
Definitely need a younger candidate. Like enough with the boomers. Period.
Yeah,
can we get a Gen X
somewhere?
Like, come on.
Go sit down some damn way. We don't need no more of this. Like, I remember back in '67. And they're like, I don't care about that shit. Uh-huh. I guess we gotta say peace to Kid Fury and Lena Waithe.
Yep.
They announced that they're writing a HBO series together.
Shout out.
Not many details about the series leaked. I'm assuming it'll be a gay slant to the series. I don't know what that would mean.
The thing about Crystal and Fury is that Crystal is way more visible than Fury, but Fury is actually the one. Fury is actually the reason the read exists.
Yeah.
Fury was doing his thing.
He was doing it by himself on YouTube
for years. And you know, he needed a balance and he brought Crystal into the mix. But again, Crystal's more visible.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
Well, Fury doesn't like to go out.
He doesn't like to go out. He's wild low. Fury isn't even all that active on Twitter anymore.
At all.
So he's low with it.
I used to see him around home though.
Yeah.
Regularly, like on the train station.
But he's been
at
doing
the gym.
It.
You know, he has a life,
yeah,
but he's just not a public life. I seen him on Sunday Sermon one time.
And I also don't think we ever shouted out, while we're talking about, like, Twitter and YouTube creators, I also don't think we ever shouted out Deezus and Mero moving to Showtime.
I think we did.
Did we?
We did. Yeah, we did. But anyway, peace to them again.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to them getting back on the treadmill.
Yeah.
We're going to mention Monique.
Before we get to Monique, did you guys watch the Trayvon, the first
installment? I didn't watch it. I couldn't. I was going to watch it, and I was like, it's still too raw.
It's very raw, and it's very upsetting.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be upset. It seems well done, though. Like, it's eight parts.
Khalif was well done and very upsetting.
I never watched Khalif.
It's very upsetting, and it's very well done, but
I really couldn't watch Khalif.
Very upsetting.
And the Trayvon thing, I think, is going to be eight parts, and then this one, what was hard was they played the audio...
From Zimmerman?
No, not from Zimmerman, but there was another neighbor who called 911. I don't know if you remember. There was another neighbor who called 911. You could hear Trayvon screaming in the background.
I remember that.
And they played that audio, like, over and over and over. Because his father was talking about how often he, like, listened to the tape back over and over again. It'll just be like...
How many parts is it?
Eight, I think.
So that's what Khalif was saying.
Because basically,
well,
it's not just talking about Trayvon. It's talking about basically how Trayvon's murder awakened the Black Lives Matter movement.
Okay.
So it's putting it in context of the protests.
Yeah,
and like everything else that happened. Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna watch it because it's important to watch, but
it's hard.
It's hard. I mean, it's Khalifa, and Khalifa's hard because Khalifa's in it. Yeah. He was in the doc. Like, he's alive. You hear him talk. He's the interview, blah, blah, blah. So like, so at the end when he kills himself, it's like, shit. Like he was in the doc. Like he was he was literally here. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what happened when his mom was just vicious? Like,
what happened with him?
His mom was sickly, and then him being locked up, the stress of him being locked up and everything made her sickness worse and worse and worse. Like, you're literally watching her get sicker as he's can't get out, and then he comes home and he's having his episodes and she's trying and she's and they show clips of her when she was young and like, you know, she was young and she was cute and she used to dance and like, you know what I'm saying? Because she wasn't old when she died. She's like 50 something.
Wow.
You know, but she looked like 70 something from the stress. And you watch it and then she died.
Wow.
And it showed like obviously the chain reaction of him getting locked up and how it basically destroyed their family. So after watching that, I was like, the Trayvon joint, that's going to be brutal. So I'm going to get at it, but I just wasn't ready this week.
Got it.
Bro, I'm going to alley-oop this one to you. We all going to jump in, but I'm going to give you the first 30 seconds to talk about LeBron and his school.
So,
because I seen you on the Twitter, you was into this.
Well,
as we all should be, because it's a great thing.
Peace to LeBron James, who opened up his school called I Promise
in Akron.
In Akron, it's a public school, you know, built by his dollars, and he basically sort of sat with the Board of Education, I believe, you know, there to go over the curriculum for the school.
Mm-hmm.
The school is really about making a footprint on the community. So this school is specifically designed for at-risk kids. Mm-hmm. They have, in addition to having sort of after-school programs for the kids to be involved in, they're giving them lunch, they're giving them snacks throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
They are also giving them bicycles, which is
an every kid got a bike.
Incredible form of freedom and gives these kids the ability to sort of move around.
Mm-hmm.
And for every kid that completes this program, they get free tuition to the University of Akron.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Free.
Yeah, they don't have to pay for
really
college.
Well thought out, man.
In addition to that, one of the more endearing things about this school is that it gives GED assistance for parents and job placement assistance for parents.
I didn't know that either. Yes. Damn.
So this is about someone who is processing and thinking about this from a level of affecting generations in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found incredibly important and what I thought was very telling was that, one, I love the fact that the school is not named after him.
Right. Yeah.
That was that was incredibly important to me.
Did you see the clip of his, he's got a show coming on, I think Showtime, called LeBron James.
The barbershop thing?
Yeah, this is going to be a series.
Yeah.
And it was a clip where I'm relaying it back to what you're saying. It was a clip where he talked about how he regretted naming his oldest son after him.
Yes.
He was like, I regret it because, you know, like, now obviously who I am. He was like, when I was a kid, my dad wasn't around and always said, my first son, I'm going to name after me, blah, blah, blah. He's like, now, obviously, like, I kind of wish I didn't because he's got to wear that. And I'm relaying that back to, I bet that was probably his process with the school.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to be the LeBron thing because that brings too much heat. It shouldn't be about me. Yes. You know?
And so I think that it is incredible. Every piece of data that has ever been studied talks about how nutrition and kids having stable support systems have affected their outcomes life.
No question.
It is incredibly important to me for them to recognize that this is also about allowing these kids to be in stable places by assisting their parents with GEDs, by giving them, helping them with job placements. Like, that to me is a much better, well thought out plan than, you know, and listen, no shots here, but like opening a charter school where you get to handpick kids who are at the higher rungs, mm-hmm. in order for you to have, you know, and you're using, you know, public funds, yeah. to do so.
So you have good test scores and
yes. And I do want to say, I think this was also telling in a way that we have got to figure out a better structure for our educational system.
Yes.
When we have probably the only new school built in the last 50 years is coming from an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, this is a public, yeah. you know, like, we have to figure out how to manage these municipalities better, how to fund and filter these federal resources that are given to these states and these municipalities. I applaud him. And of course, there's a bunch of niggas.
Hold on. Before you go to the niggas, let me just say one more thing. I know you was going to go with that.
Of course.
But I want to say one more thing. I just thought everything you're saying is 10,000% spot on. I think I don't even call it advantage because that's not the right term, but whatever term, I can't remember, think of a term I'm looking for now. The thing is, and he said this, he was like, yo, not that it was easy to do this, because it's not easy, but all the things that he has, he was like, because I was that kid.
Right.
Literally. My mom wasn't working. I wasn't getting fed properly. Like, all the things that as a fourth grader, that I wished that I had.
Yeah, it was the inside,
I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I remember being hungry as fuck in third period. And right. I couldn't think straight. Yeah, I remember, I wish my mom had a job, because then I could have went on school trips or whatever. Like, it was lovely how he was also relaying so much of his experience. You know, experiences into building the school and making sure
this is exactly why organizations like TFA, Teach for America, and stuff like that get criticized, because what you're doing is putting people in these classrooms who don't understand what these kids go through, who don't understand how, like you said, being hungry is going to affect your day, or how it affects
this is the only meal some of these kids get a day.
Yeah, this is the only meal you get, or how the fact that, like, you know, mama is working, but she's working third shift, so you got to get your brothers and sisters ready for school.
Yeah.
There's no clean clothes.
She don't get home till 12.
Yeah, like, you're just seeing some badass kids, and you're not taking into account, like, all the home factors. So this is why it's so important that people who are involved in the education system actually come from similar systems, or at least have an understanding of it, right?
That's why the Bessie DeVos whatever they call it, when they fuck her for sure, when they were, you know, grilling her, it was bananas. It was like, you've never even been to a public school before.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you?
And
they
tell
people in public school what they shouldn't do. Like, you know, like, it's retarded that you're not qualified for this job.
Yeah.
You know, but back to the niggas.
But, okay, so the niggas come around. It'll be your own people.
It'll always be your
own.
Your own
dumbass
niggas.
People.
Built they a just school. Always
mad.
He built a school
mad.
And niggas was complaining.
Niggas start talking about, well, we didn't do this when Jalen Rose, you know, built his school. Well,
that's not our fault.
When Warwick Dunn was giving out houses, which is a whole different, thing.
It's completely false.
Right.
Because everyone... Jalen talked about that school
at every turn.
Absolutely.
At every point.
Absolutely.
And it was not an apples to apples comparison.
Right.
Because this is a charter, correct?
It is a charter.
Yeah. And it's the Jalen Rose Academy.
And it's a Jalen Rose Academy. It's a charter. It's in, I think, a school that was already, like, functioning and operating. And again, he's doing a wonderful thing. Yeah, shots. But the fact is that we always have to find an issue. So some niggas start talking about, oh, he ain't gonna hire Professor Griff.
And
who is not an actual professor. Kara is one who is not an actual teacher.
I wanted
who did he say? Who else was it?
Shaharazad Ali.
Shaharazad
Ali.
talks about
sex.
And smacking women.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Shaharazad Ali, son.
But
I don't want to hire Shaharazad Ali for shit.
This ain't the Ankh school. What? For Hotep
What I noticed, man, is that
Umar Johnson, don't forget that part.
And it's like,
Umar ain't built the school yet. Sorry.
It's disheartening.
It is.
Yeah. Right? It's disheartening that you could. It's like, to me, those are the kind of niggas like you niggas would kick a baby down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, you niggas would just.
And be like, yo, I'm saying, you know, baby should have been in the way.
What are you talking about?
You're the type of nigga, you could walk up to that type of nigga, literally put $10,000 cash in his hand, and he'd be like, yo, why you give me 25?
Yeah. You got it.
You got it.
You know what I'm saying? What I would reiterate to people is that giving resources to parents, giving resources to the village in addition to the children is incredible. It is incredible. I've worked with an organization. We have, you know, in which, and you guys know this, Grassroots is a part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been committed to this program for a very long time. They do a summer camp where it's about a 5-week commitment.
Okay.
And you have to commit as a family.
Yeah.
That shit is part of the curriculum. We cannot, this is not drop your kid off at camp.
And I'll see you later.
None of that shit.
Right.
This is none of that. Like, we need, if you guys are looking for scholarships to have your kids attend, then yeah, man, we're going to need your involvement. We want to cut out certain dietary things, like, no processed sugar during this time. This is a family commitment. Yeah, nigga, like, we had to go in our house and make sure that everyone would, you think Justin want to fucking not eat sugar because but this is a commitment. This is about your village.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And giving them the support and understanding what that means and being there and being engaged.
Yeah, locked in.
Like, imagine the difference when you get up and you get your kids ready for school, and on any other day, you would be able to just, you know, hey, I ain't got a gig right now. There's nothing really happening. Guess what? Now you going to school with your kid because you're going to the GED program.
Yep.
Right? And you in that same
You got visit, homework,
and
too.
And your presence. And your presence.
Yeah, you're there.
And the difference. Seeing your mom or your dad get up every day and move and go and do something and having those resources, you can't put a tag on that shit.
And the other thing, and you might have said this already, and forgive me if you did, and this is something that's very small, but like, he's giving the kids all access to a bike ride share service so that they can get out of the hood.
Yes.
So they can go look around. They can take a ride. They can go see do stuff. Some shit. They can go do, like, that's big.
It's massive.
That's big. Like, and that's the thing I don't even think people some people
they're
really
not really wrapping their mind about how
these things are,
because
they seem like small things. Like, a lot of people are focusing on a scholarship to University of Akron, but all the other things, to me, like, he's breaking cycles.
He is,
you know. And it's one thing just to say, if you graduate, I'm gonna give you a scholarship, but he's literally breaking cycles. He's gonna change the way these kids think. He's gonna change the way they approach education. He's gonna change the way they feel about school. Like, there's a whole timeline of their life is gonna be completely different because of all these other things that he's putting into place.
Yeah,
and you're not gonna get everybody, right?
Nobody gets everybody.
You're not gonna save everybody.
No,
but you know you're gonna save a lot.
Yeah,
and you're gonna give them opportunities to see things that they would not have had the experience, and also. yes, the physical building matters, dude. Like, we have fucking kids in Baltimore in class with their fucking coats on.
Yeah. No heat.
Yeah.
No heat.
In the dead of winter.
Like, yeah. Like those things matter, yeah, man. That shit matters.
Water leaking out the ceiling and all that type of shit.
All
of
the
remember the shit in Detroit? I think it was Detroit that the school was just, damn, the schools are damn near falling apart. The teachers, remember, the teachers walked out.
Yep.
So, yeah, just, I mean, just props to him, man. Like, the guy, look. We can, you know, argue who's a better player, him or Jordan, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, and that's barbershop
shit.
Jordan
ain't about no school.
About to say, but on off the court, this is not even close. Yeah. Now, Jordan obviously has made cultural impact with the sneakers and stuff, which is still going.
But LeBron is doing community shit,
it ain't even close to me. Like, stop it. And I'm sure him and Magic are probably, you know, talking about doing shit in L.A.
Because,
you know, Magic is this type of guy. It's just the beginning. Yeah, it's the beginning. So, I mean, I can't do nothing but get a guy props. And you just triggered something, by the way. So, peace to the white guy. Last Saturday, I'm driving to the city to go get my cut. I'm on the Deegan, some traffic. I glance in my rear view. There's a white dude on a bicycle riding down the Major Deegan.
That's a lot.
Bicycle?
Bicycle.
That's a lot. In
from Yonkers. Yeah, I picked him up. Well, he picked me up, I should say, because I was traveling a little slow. He passed me past Yonkers racetrack. Going south. I was like, oh shit. I figured he gonna get off, put it out. Traffic stopped moving. You know, motherfucker, he didn't get off to 230th Street.
Wow.
He rode the Deegan for a smooth 2-3 miles in traffic on a Saturday.
But if you gotta be on the Deegan, the traffic on the Deegan don't even move though, so technically you could be on a bike and be good.
But
he was
still
probably trying to get down to, the Dykeman exit is on the other side, that's on the Hudson.
Yeah.
I'm about to say he might be trying to get on that bike path, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe a van. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I don't know where he was going, but like he was on the Deegan.
That's
on a bicycle. I ain't never seen that.
That's crazy.
And getting it. Like,
he should have got a ticket for that.
Yeah, he probably would have. The cop would have seen him.
Right.
Because I'm sure that's illegal to be riding a bike on
the
Deegan highway.
Three streets.
Big ass 18
wheels. Exactly.
Exactly.
Real
truck shit.
Wanted to also mention this crazy thing with we could do a double prong. Vig Rames,
right,
getting a gun stuck in his face because his neighbor, another, you know, white Susie, calls
said that somebody was
breaking in the house. It was his house.
Yep.
And he said that he knew the name. He's like, you seen me before? Like, I'm Vig Rames. Like, you know the fuck I am? And they called the cops because a big black man was breaking into a house. He opens the door. The cops got it. He said that he saw the red dot.
Yeah. And he was like, thank God his son wasn't like playing video games and opened the door with his controller in his hand.
And the cops recognized him.
Yeah. And the cops recognized him. But what's interesting is that them and the cops went over to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And the neighbor denied that they called the cops.
You got the 911 call right here. Motherfuckers acting crazy.
Yeah.
And now we got the racist van driver.
Yes.
In Ohio, who followed
the black man
for
2 miles.
2 miles.
Out of his way.
Because he thought the guy cut him off.
Right.
And caused him a nigga. The guy's taping him. I don't know if the black guy realized, maybe did, that while he was taping him, he was catching the door to the van.
I think he did.
Yeah, so he's the name of the company, the phone number,
the
whole shebang. It's clear as day. So, of course, the phone number gets inundated with calls.
Yelp reviews.
Black Twitter finds out who he is in 4 seconds. Yeah,
Yelp reviews.
Crazy Yelp reviews.
He lost his Better Business Bureau accreditation because the Better Business Bureau has a morality or ethics or something clause in it. But here's what's funny. I was reading a piece that said that at first when they called him for comment to see if he apologized for it, I guess in the beginning, he was like, well, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but this is just how I grew up. Like, it just is what it is.
That's just what I say.
It's not a big deal. But then, after all the shit done hit the fan, now this nigga's like, my life is over. My business is done.
And
I'm never going to work again. And this motherfucker had the nerve to say, I just didn't understand the intensity of the hate. My dude, you followed a black man for 2 miles.
To call him a nigga.
To call him all kind of niggas. But you don't understand
how it could turn on you.
But that also just proves to me, like, we are in a time where calling a person racist is for some reason more offensive than actually being racist.
It really is.
And you gotta call these motherfuckers out. Because that like, I know the right complains about political correctness, but what they mean is they don't want to be able to call you niggers.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is that the left gets chastised for political correctness, meaning don't call people out. No, call these motherfuckers out. Make them uncomfortable.
I don't know if he's a racist or not. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Like, make these people uncomfortable. Like, you guys bringing up these kind of instances that aren't even important are taking away from the larger problem. This is the problem. Like, this is it. And I tell people all the time, like, these kind of microaggressions are maybe actually worse than, like, the blatant shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these are the things that happen all the time. And when black people bring them up, white people are like, you tripping.
You wilding.
This is a deal. I don't understand. This shit happened all the time.
Oh, no, I don't believe that actually happened like that.
There must be more to the story.
And again, like we always say, imagine, like, all this shit was happening with no video for years.
Yeah.
So now this video, now people getting caught out there, and you know they some people are getting facing the consequences of the bullshit,
yeah.
and they're actually stunned.
I fully believe that dude is shocked that people have a problem with what he did.
Yeah,
I'm very sure. I'm sure he's like, "What's the big deal? I called him so what?
I called him a nigga. He cut me off. What's the problem?
What's the problem?
I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really should say. I've done it several times before.
Like, what? That's what I do.
Fuck him.
You and his
family.
Yeah.
Y'all stole because of his fucking ass. I don't care.
Hope
your shit, your business is closed. Hope your fucking house get foreclosed on. Fuck you.
Yep. Yeah, well, his business is definitely closing. Fuck him. So, last thing I want to talk about was this story I sent y'all about LA kid, this white kid, was a gangbanger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about this one.
So it's a kid in L.A., he's a white kid, Cameron Terrell, he's 18 years old, he's from Palo Verde Estates, so he grew up in a really nice area. He's acquitted of first-degree murder after a 10-day jury deliberation. He was the getaway driver for two South L.A. guys who did a drive-by and murdered this 18-year-old kid, Justin Holmes. So basically what happened was Cameron linked up with these kids and had a curiosity about gang life.
Mm.
So he starts hanging out in the hood and becomes a member of a gang, like for real, for real. Like there's pictures of him throwing gang signs, all that shit. He's like full on in the gang. Even though he's like this suburban kid from the suburbs, he would go down to the hood every day and hang out and do gang shit, you know?
Right.
Like your man, like, do what did the little kid used to say? Some shit with my friends.
Do hood shit with my friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what he was doing. So these guys do a drive-by. They shoot this 21-year-old kid. He had a name called White Boy. Like, he was in music videos. He's in it!
Right.
So they do a drive-by. He's driving the car. They shoot this kid. All three get arrested. The two black kids who are in the car with him are facing life.
And he's off.
He gets out because the judge says basically he was just enamored with gang life. It's not who he is. So you know he we're gonna let him go because I think he's learned his lesson. He's not gonna do that anymore. He's in the car. He's a getaway driver.
That's crazy.
So this one kid's dead.
Mm-hmm.
These two kids their lives are done. They're life in jail for murder one.
Mm-hmm.
And your man Cameron, chilling.
That's insane.
This is in L.A. Not that it matters, but it's not in like fucking Mississippi you know, Arkansas or deep Texas.
Right.
It's Los Angeles County. So Cameron's, this, you know, he done left the gang now.
Of course.
They said that
Cameron about to have on polos and khakis.
They said that. No, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you see a picture of him, you know, that's what he looks like. He'll blend right in. That's him.
Yep, he went right back to it.
Right back to suburban life in L.A.
Who my dad is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, with boat shoes on and shit.
Yeah.
That's
infuriating.
And you know what the wild shit is? Let me tell you the twist of the whole story, which is why it's probably going to be in a TV movie. His lawyer's black.
Wow.
He had a black lawyer who got him off. Jovan Blackwell. So I would, if I was a TV writer, I definitely would be trying to make a movie out of this, because this shit is bonkers.
I hope the lawyer for the two black boys is on something. Like, there's got to be something here. I feel like
And the kid he killed was a college kid. He was working, right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, from the hood, so maybe he had a little, you know, mess or whatever, but right. She'd been murdered.
That's crazy. That's infuriating.
Yeah.
White fucking privilege.
The white kid had a $5 million bond.
They paid post $500,000
cash. That shows you how he's living. Right. His family had 500 racks cash.
That's
crazy.
That's an extraordinary amount of liquid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cash?
That's not like.
That's insane.
Like people with bread.
Don't have 500 racks.
You gotta move some shit around.
Let me call, you know, yeah. Let me move something
Or if you did 500, you got cash, it basically wipes you out.
Yeah. Like,
now all you got is the house and you don't have no actual money no more. Yeah. He gave $500,000, but still able to keep living. That shows you what the soul. I don't even have a comment because it's just a bonkers story, but it's just like the white privilege. That's the thing, like you're saying now, like it's one thing, like because you see all these microaggressions and all this racism, but then like you just see more and more cases of like extreme white privilege mm-hmm. on the other mm-hmm. side. It's like that we always knew existed. Same thing as before. Oh, y'all tripping. They all treat nobody no different.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you have so many outlets now and you have so many, just social media. These things would have largely, if this happened in 1984, we don't know about this
at all.
This right. doesn't make it past the Midwest.
If that far.
Yeah.
If you'd have to basically like know somebody in LA and they probably would tell you the story like in a barbershop. Yes. You heard about that white boy? He's like, nah, that shit doesn't sound right. This really happens.
Yeah.
That was it. I don't think it was anything else I wanted to talk about. Oh, did you want to mention Monique?
Monique caping for Roseanne?
Yeah, so.
I don't care.
Like, I mean, what's the point, B?
Well.
I thought she loved us for real.
So she says, Monique goes, you know, on to defend Roseanne at this point, calling her her sister in comedy. And says, I remember when I had the Monique show and there were big major black superstar talent that had white representatives and they told their talent that show was too black and we really don't want you to go on there. But there was a white woman named Roseanne Barr that showed up for me and they didn't hear the conversation when the cameras wasn't rolling. The woman was giving me some beautiful words. I say that quote because that quote sort of encompasses what I've said before
about Monique
is that when it affects her, right, not the greater good, when it is her personally, when she is attached to something, when it is only about her,
mm-hmm.
She draws the line in the sand.
Yeah.
Right? This woman, Roseanne, has done so much shit. Like, what about your sister in comedy, Wanda Sykes, who basically disavowed her?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so to me, this is, you know, I think that she has maybe martyrism is maybe not the best word, but there's a level of dying on the hill, man.
Yeah.
That she sort of takes pride in. Yeah. Well, I'm going to disagree.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, I'm going to go the other way.
I'm like, don't throw her away. Like she wouldn't fucking piss on you if you was on fire.
Right. At all.
Right.
Like, you're going to talk about some shit that happened years ago. And what I read here is that she was hurt that black talent
wouldn't come on her show. This is a show she had on BT?
Well, no. It says the Monique show. I think she had another. She might have had.
I was about to say the BET joint had everybody on
it. Yeah, it might have. She might have had. Well, you know, also the BET thing was also very difficult to get major talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, major talent is going to look for the most eyeballs when they're going out to promote a movie. Mm-hmm. So if it's up to going to sit with Monique or going to sit with Leno at the time,
you were going to sit with Leno,
yeah. Right? And that you. I mean, listen. I'm not going to make it seem like artists don't have a say in what they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes artists will hide behind their representatives to not do things that they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is about someone who felt slighted by black people.
Yeah.
right? In which she specifically says, this wasn't just about the black people that didn't come on my show. This was about black people not coming on my show because of their white representation.
Right.
Right? So you see how she will take and twist and make everything sort of, a personal gripe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hate the most is that I like her. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Monique is a bad person, right? In the sense that I don't think she's... I think she means this shit. Like, that's right. What's, like, wild to me.
Yeah,
she, like, this isn't a game. I don't think she's trolling.
She really feels like this.
And I am blown away.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
I saw the clip. There's a video clip. I forget who she's talking to, but they when she says it. And she's on stage with Sydney, of course. And even for a second, Sydney looked like, shit, man. Like, you really saying this? Like, he just for a hot second, like, he was like, God damn.
There's no filter, right? And there is a sense, and I'm not saying you should not say what's on your mind, but to me, what you're saying is, I don't really give a fuck about how y'all feel collectively.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
I don't care about how y'all feel collectively because she did something for me.
Yeah.
Right.
She served my purpose.
Yeah, so I'm good.
So because she served my purpose,
I'm caping for her
and I'm going to hold her down and I'm going to stay and I'm going to have her back.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
And however y'all don't like it, whatever. Yes, I don't care. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and black folks have, and what's wild to me is that black folks have been the ones mainly supporting Monique and her
only.
You're basically, like, she's out here.
Yeah, yeah. The last one was riding with you. You shitting on him.
I. You know. Look, I wish them well. I don't know what this means, but I am. I'm blown away. Like, I'm a little bit speechless.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fathom that this person, that, because I've heard Monique talk before, I would have never thought that person would be talking this way about somebody who is actively been racist.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't accepted in that way.
Yeah.
Right? And she's probably somewhere calling her a monkey bitch.
Oh, yeah. Look at those dumb monkey bitches and saying she like me.
Yeah. Like,
or she ain't like them other niggas.
Yeah.
I like Monique. She's a good nigga. She's not like the other ones. She's like that Wanda. You got anything on online?
No, y'all know that Monique, listen, I think Monique is talented. I think she's funny. I think she's selfish as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I think that her view of business right now is skewed. I think that her husband has something to do with it. And yeah, I think she cares about her own shit. And, you know, when you look back historically over Monique's career, she don't fuck with Countess Vaughn. She don't feel like she has no allies in this shit right now.
She done burned all the bridges.
And that's always my thing. Like, if ain't nobody fucking with you,
yeah, then maybe it's you.
It's you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely you.
Yeah. Fuck, burned Oprah. You done burned Tyler.
Yeah, and
you done burned Lee. Well, Lee, you know, he's tough, but you burned Lee. You burned everybody in that damn, everybody in the universe except Sydney. You're about to be in a two bedroom driving a zip car. Shit,
and you're
man.
Right. It's still black people who are supporting her. But again, like, you are just like, well, just because it's my sustained comedy. Roseanne, let me tell you something. I bet Roseanne ain't trying to give you no job. I bet that.
Yeah, she didn't call you to get on her show, right?
At all.
Roseanne been good. Roseanne got plenty of money.
Plenty. And I mean, Monique ain't missing no meals. She's going to be fine. But the reality is that to me, that just showed and proved what I said about the Netflix situation. The Netflix situation was only a problem when it became a problem for her.
Exactly.
It was not, you know, it was
now
not
we ain't supposed to watch Last Chance U because of you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, that's really all that shit was about, man. So anytime this is something that's about her, like, she is, to me, like, she would be perfect in certain situations. Right, but yeah, I mean, you know, when I look at her track record, I'm like, yeah, my nigga, like, nobody's, like, they're not giving you $10 million. I don't know what part of the game you were expecting on that, you know, but hey, who are me?
Yeah. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up.
Stay dry. Stay cool.
Try to.
Stay hydrated.
My damn electric bill is going to be so crazy.
We see y'all next week.
Electric.
Later, electric.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.